Now, he said, you boys want all the right things. I can't put it any clearer than that. I believe you. He hesitated. I believe in you. What I see in your eyes is true. Eddie thought he was done, and then Cullum grinned like a boy. Also, it appears to me you're offering the keys to one humongous great engine. Engine? Who wouldn't want to turn it on and see what it does?
Are you scared? Roland asked.
John Cullum considered the question, then nodded.
Yeah, he said.
Roland nodded. Good, he said. 7. They drove back up to Turtleback Lane in Cullum's car beneath a black, boiling sky. Although this was the height of the summer season and most of the cottages on Kayser were probably occupied, they saw not a single car moving in either direction. All the boats on the lake had long since run for cover.
"Said I had something else for you,"
John said, and went to the back of his truck where there was a steel lockbox snugged up against the cab. Now the wind had begun to blow. It swirled his scanty fluff of white hair around his head. He ran a combination, popped a padlock, and swung back the lockbox's lid. From inside he brought out two dusty bags the wanderers knew well. One looked almost new compared to the other, which was the scuffed no-color of desert dust and laced its long length with rawhide.
"Our gunner!"
Eddie cried, so delighted and so amazed that the words almost came out in a scream.
"How in the name of hell—"
John offered them a smile that augured well for his future as a dirty trickster. Bemused on the surface, sly beneath.
"Nice surprise, ain't it? Thought so myself. I went back to get a look at Chip's store, what is left of it, while there was still a lot of confusion. People running hither, thither, and yon is what I mean to say. Covering bodies, stringing that yellow tape, taking pictures. Somebody had put those bags off to one side, and they looked just a dite lonely. So I—"
He shrugged one bony shoulder. "I scooped 'em up.